Welcome back to the morning show here on 1620 The Zone. Ravi Lula in for Gary. Jacob Padilla here with me, along with our friend Jimmy Chavez. And joining us now is our friend from the Omaha World Herald, Sam McEwen. Sam, how you doing this morning?
Good, cold.
Yeah, a little bit chilly out there. At the unseasonably warm weather seems to have come to an end.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's winter.
It is winter in Nebraska. We should be used to it by now. Sam, so I just want to start with kind of a general question and give you, I guess, a little bit of room here. How would you describe kind of the atmosphere around the announcement and just kind of around Lincoln yesterday, both before and after the Matt Rhule press conference?
Oh, you know, I think the atmosphere, you know, certainly in the Hawks Center was festive, interesting. You know, I think most of the people who attended it were, you know, not rank and file fans, but money people.
Mm-hmm.
The rank and file fans were outside of East Stadium. About 500 of the fans, you know, went out there and caught football stuff. So it was kind of a dual threat party, so to speak. And it was, you know, I mean, it had a lot of pomp and circumstance to it. I don't know if that was for BPN purposes or I think they just wanted to have something different than sort of a standard you know, third floor event. I don't know if they'll do it again, but there it was. I was struck by a lot of the things that Matt Rhule said. Knew he would win the press conference. Told Trev that before it happened. But the irony is you said you didn't want to win it, but you did. You knew you would. Rhule's very good at this stuff. He's a very good talker. And to be clear, I think that's an advantage in this job. I think you being good at it is good at Nebraska. It doesn't necessarily mean it's good everywhere. But Nebraska cares in a way that makes what Matt Rhule's good at important. And so I thought he did a nice job. I thought he explained himself quite well, his vision for the program. And then, you know, a lot of people milled around afterward. Obviously, you know, the NIL folks were there and other things. So there's a lot going on. And it felt like a positive day for Nebraska football. Things are going to move fast now. They're going to fill out their staff very quickly. And they're going to get going in recruiting. I don't think it's going to be I do think it's going to be a lot of guys that Rhule's worked with. Now, it won't necessarily be all guys that he was with at the Panthers. He'll collect them from some different spots, but I do think it's going to be Rhule guys because Matt Rhule needs to work with Matt Rhule guys. The way that he operates fast and very focused, and he needs to be willing to be on board. So I think it'll be a lot of guys he's worked with before.
And talked about winning the press conference. Were there any particular quotes that stood out or kind of recurring themes that you found most interesting or most important from what he said yesterday?
Well, you know, he hit all the, you know, the things that I expected to do, Jacob, but the idea that it was going to take a long time or that it may take a while, not a long time, but it may take a while, I think was important to hit home. He was able to do that in a way that was both honest, and not promising anything, but simultaneously aggressive in the way that he said it. And so I think he quietly set a goal of making a bowl game. Said it wasn't time to talk about it now. Said let's get into spring. I think that's probably a good way to approach it. I thought his answer to how to win in the Big Ten, which is the question I asked, but how to win was interesting. You know, I think that question he approached it a little bit differently than I thought he would. I don't disagree with anything except the fact that he said, you know, the team that has better quarterback play probably wins the game, because it's actually true. There are exceptions to the rule. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the Michigan-Ohio State game was an exception to the rule. The better quarterback didn't win that game. But, you know, I think the way he answered that question was intriguing. You know, he laid out quarterback play, playing good defense, and then he talked about where they were going to recruit. So that jumped out at me, too. He's going to lean on his relationships in Texas. He said to Texas, New Jersey, and Florida, which is very specific. didn't hear California in that. I'm okay with that. We'll see if that remains the case. Didn't hear Louisiana, which is obviously where Nebraska just recently recruited. Didn't hear Georgia, which is where Nebraska is recently recruited. So I'll be intrigued to see if they recruit Georgia and Louisiana. I expected them to say Texas, and for what it's worth, I think it's good news. I think Texas is producing good football players. I think you go back about 10 to 15 years, and maybe it was a little bit soft, but I think a lot of those schools have gotten better at developing linemen over the last 10 to 15 years down there. And so I think recruiting in Texas is a good move.
Sam, you mentioned, you know, they kind of won the press conference. You expected them to. Rule's really good in that setting. What about Matt Rhule do you think people find so compelling about him when he's kind of in these situations?
Well, he's a good talker. He has the skill to speak above him. And just about every human being I know appreciates the ability to do. Like, they just, people like to hear other people talk well. It's like watching somebody who really knows how to dance. Like, it's just appealing when somebody's really good at something, and Matt Rhule's good at it. And so is Trev, but Matt's even more relatable, I think, than Trev is in that role. And so I think people like that. They just want somebody who can do it. I think that people could at times be embarrassed by Bo Pelini and the way that he would support himself, regardless of how he coached on the field. And I think he was a pretty good coach on the field a lot of the time. And then Scott could do it, but he didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty evident that he didn't enjoy doing that. And Scott, I think, hindsight being 2020, took a poor approach to the job. Okay, I'm going to bunker in and leave me alone, and leave my family alone. And that approach at Nebraska is just not probably going to be the one that sends you home. It's just... So Matt Rhule's approach to that thing is way different. We're going to be out in the community. I'm going to talk about my family. You're going to know them. I'm going to know you. Let's do this together, et cetera, et cetera. I think that kind of transparency and honesty is refreshing to Nebraska fans. And so, you know, I think he'll just be more public. And I think, honestly, that's what Nebraska fans want from their head coach. They want somebody who's going to be out there. I know Tom Osborne got a reputation for being dry and understated, but Tom did a lot of work. And we forget, of course, that Coach Osborne started Keeneland, which is one of the most public-facing organizations in the state of Nebraska. So when you think about Coach Osborne, you may think of the dry, you know, understated tone, but he actually did a ton, including being a politician himself. So, you know, I think Matt Rhule fits a lot of the things that Nebraska fans really want and a head coach, including the ability to talk in public.
You mentioned there'll probably be a lot of guys that he's worked with, but not necessarily exclusively. What do you make, or do you have any early impressions on kind of the names that we're hearing that have already been kind of confirmed or that seem likely to be staff picks for Rhule here in Nebraska?
I do. I think the offensive coordinator pick, if Marcus Satterfield is not a co-OC, but just an OC, is, you know, one we'll have to look further. I think South Carolina has been very up and down this season, and they've had some really poor performances against defenses that, honestly, were not that good in other games. You know, 2 points against Missouri. Now, Missouri's got a pretty good defense. Missouri's been pretty good most of the season. They, you know, they obviously got boat raced against Tennessee, but a lot of people. Florida doesn't have a very good defense. They just don't. And they got lit up by Florida State. They got lit up by other teams too. So it's a little concerning that South Carolina scored 6 points against them. Now, the last 2 weeks against Tennessee and Clemson, those games matter. Tennessee doesn't play much defense. But they scored 65 points, so that means something. And then, you know, they scored 31 on a good Clemson, something annoys them. In a rivalry game, and Clemson kind of needed to win that game to stay in the CFP hunt, and they didn't win it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be impressed there. But there's question marks about him as an OC. I think the other hires are fine. Their strength coaches. I knew Nebraska was going to be gone from strength to perspective. I don't think it. I'm not sure Nicky. If Nicky had been the guy, I don't know that Nicky would have kept that strength coach either. I just don't know. I think you've got to do something different there because whatever they were doing wasn't working. But I think the strength coach would be fine, and then you've got a DB's coach and a special teams coordinator. Matt Rhule has been pretty honest about that special teams is not his passion, so he wants a coordinator who has a passion for it, and he has. So we'll see where they go from here. The defense is going to be good regardless of who the coordinator is because Rhule puts an emphasis there. The offense is what I'd like to watch. Satterfield has had a lot of different jobs. I don't know that I would describe him as the coordinator at this point, but he's a Rhule guy, and that's what's important. He understands what Matt Rhule wants. Now let's see if he can keep Casey Thompson in the fold. That's important. If you keep Casey, he decides to come back, then your chances of winning next year are actually much better than even if you go get a portal pick.
We're talking with Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald. Well, you brought up Mickey Joseph, so I'm going to take you in that direction. At this point, do you have any kind of feeling or lean any way of how you think the Mickey Joseph situation plays itself out?
I think it'd be awesome if he stayed. I think a little surprised based on what he may want from a salary perspective and what he wants to pay, and then contract years, whether it's two or three. I will say this, the offensive coordinator they hired is not going to cost $2 million. So, I mean, that guy is making $900,000 in South Carolina, and I don't know that his job was all that safe. I don't think you have to pay that guy $1.7 million. And I don't know who you would hire as a defensive coordinator if you have to pay that. So there'll be money, I think, some money. I don't know that it'll be the money that Nicky exactly wants. I think it seems unlikely, but maybe they can make it work. And again, I think the thing that would kind of let him do what he does, which is recruit. And so he would recruit Louisiana, he would recruit Texas, and he would recruit Florida. And that's what he would do, and those would be his guys. And he'd obviously coach receivers, but he'd also do some, probably recruit some other players too. Now, if you get the defensive line coach from Texas, A&M, Elijah Robinson, who's worked with Rhule before, well, then shoot. You got a great recruiter, which is notable, and that could be something that's pretty dynamic to watch. So maybe you don't necessarily need Joseph to be a recruiter, but I think it would be good if he stayed on, sure.
You mentioned Casey Thompson, and I think he's obviously number one, but who are some of the most important players, whether already on the roster or maybe in the current recruiting class, that Rhule needs to immediately kind of re-recruit and get locked in to come back next year?
Well, it's rattling them off. Casey Thompson, Garrett Nelson, Ty Robinson, Quentin Newsom, if Quentin doesn't go to the NFL, Malcolm Hartsock, Ernest Houseman, Miles Farmer. On offense, I mentioned Casey, obviously. I think Anthony Grant, but I think Anthony's going to come back. I don't know exactly where he's going to go. I don't know that he's quite ready for the NFL. You have to have some of the current offensive linemen, how people feel about those guys. You can't just run them all off, replace them with Juco guys. So you need to probably bring back Corcoran and Prohaska, Ben Hart, even if you feel conflicted, Colt Beast on defense, those are some of those names. And the recruiting area, I think you probably want to try to keep all the in-state kids. You want to keep Riley Van Poppel. You want to keep the linebacker from Colorado, who looks like a pretty good football player to me, Hayden Moore. You're going to lose probably one or two of those receivers if you don't keep Nicky Joseph, and that's okay. I'm not trying to diminish the importance of receivers. Obviously, Trey Palmer helped Nebraska win two games. Without him, they probably don't beat Indiana and Iowa. But Trey's not coming back. So, you know, you hope you can recruit some good receivers and get some guys in the system that are decent players. And you know what? You can usually recruit receivers. Sooner or later, you'll find a guy that's willing to go and catch 50 passes for 800 yards, or Trey's case, 70 passes for 1,000 yards. They're pretty good. Nebraska's had some very good receivers in recent years. NFL receivers, Wandale Robinson, Stanley Morgan, Trey Palmer. They didn't win that many games. So he is building the trenches. If you lose a receiver or two in the commit class, well, that's unfortunate. But that's something that Nebraska can survive.
Sam, we appreciate your time, as always, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, take care.
That's our friend Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald. You asked a question there of Sam about guys that Matt Rhule needs to retain. I want to tackle that question between the two of us coming up next. We'll start off the 8 o'clock hour with that here on the morning show on 1620 The Zone.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.